2016 brings us to Stradbally, County Waterford. We have two Stradbillys in the diocese, the other one being in County Laois. I, on one occasion recently, managed to be in both of them on the same day, which must have been quite special. I have a special soft spot for the Waterford Stradbally for this particular reason, that the church and the school beside it are dedicated to St. James, and on one occasion at a great event marking the opening of the fine extension to the school, I was talking about how the school is dedicated to James and the different Jameses in the Bible, and this particular James, the brawny fisherman of Galilee, whom we remember on the 25th of July, and I happened to point out that that day is also my birthday. And ever since then, even though it's in the middle of their summer holidays, the pupils and staff of St. James's School in Stradbally have been kind enough to send me a birthday card. So they need a special grateful mention, as does the fact that so often the church door remains wonderfully opened, and at certain times of the year, the path is lined with daffodils. Past the historic ruins and antiquarian site to the right as one goes towards the west end of the church. In 2016, I want to mention the death in May of that year of Jack Boothman, who had been president of the GAA from Blessington in County Wicklow, not far from our diocese, a member of the Church of Ireland. Not many held that high office in the GAA who had come from an Anglican background. He'd championed the abolition of Rule 21, which was the rule which so controversially kept members of the security forces out of GAA membership in the north. Although he still was old school enough not to be too sure about the opening up of Croke Park to international soccer and rugby, particularly during the rebuilding of what used to be Lansdowne Road. I still find the attitude of the Church of Ireland to the GAA varied and interesting, and it's been studied quite a lot recently in a chapter of the book called Protestant and Irish, edited by Ida Milne of Carlow College and of this diocese and of Ian Dalton, which shows that the level of permeation of the Church of Ireland by Church of Ireland members of GAA membership is actually much higher than we've tended to assume. Yet our schools only modestly promote it. That can be an interesting issue in Kilkenny, where curling is such a huge thing. And the whole history of Gaelic games in Trinity College, even in its much more Protestant days, was a fascinating subject that was teased out actually by a professor of theology much later on, Sean Frayne, who taught me New Testament, but his side interest was the history of Gaelic games, and he wrote about Gaelic games in Trinity, particularly early in the last century. I remember when the GAA Congress removed Rule 21 and opened the door to membership for the security forces in the north. I felt that that had been, in many ways, an inhibition to members of the Church of Ireland joining. There was just this kind of sense of solidarity, perhaps, with co-religionists in the north who might have been of a different political persuasion, but who were unfairly excluded in the midst of their courageous work from membership of what should have been a community sporting organisation. So when Rule 21 was lifted, I remember preaching in Bandon, where I was rector at the time, and where the parish, in fact, made extensive use of the GAA facilities. I encouraged people, now that that rule was gone, to go down and join up. I did also acknowledge that for many members of the Church of Ireland in the past, Sunday sport had been a big issue. The GAA played on Sundays, the traditional Protestant games didn't. Victor Griffin, the famous Dean of St. Patrick's, had been in terrible trouble for going to an All-Ireland on a Sunday afternoon. But at the end of the day, it really is inconsistent to say that we have a doctrinaire opposition to Sunday games when most of the sports traditionally associated with members of the Church of Ireland are played to a great degree on Sundays, and of course that affects Sunday worship, and that's another question. Anyway, I did encourage people in Bandon to go and join up, and a friend, a parishioner, said to me on the way out, that's well coming from you, and you wouldn't know a goal from a point. And indeed, I used to find doing my duty at GAA dinners horrendously tedious because I just couldn't get into the enthusiastic reminiscence that went on about the great matches of the past. The GAA are a huge force in every parish, largely for good. They epitomise voluntary culture, except I think for a little bit of reward for their referees who sometimes get a tough time. They did wonderful work during COVID, systematically arranging the distribution of groceries and other necessities to people who were at that time being, to use that phrase, cocooned. And sometimes there's a sense that Church of Ireland young people are somewhat absent from the lifeblood of their own communities when they're away at boarding school, and the GAA themselves worry about how to deal with this and to make those who are away at boarding schools feel if they want to be more included. One can't, at any rate, if one is anywhere near Nolan Park, get away from the, as it were, the skill and the pace of hurling. The whole thing is not everybody's cup of tea, but I do think we should throw up more Jack Boothmans and help those who want to make the GAA a more unifying force in the North. After all, sport, like culture and the language, should be things that are depoliticised. So we remember Boothman and what he stood for in the year 2016.